Inshallah, brothers, inshallah, if you can come close, inshallah. We have Maulana Shamsul Islam Sahib here. He's here from Colchester. Inshallah, he's a graduate of a madrasa in Blackburn, Madrasa Miftahul Ulum. So, inshallah, we'll ask Maulana Shamsul Islam Sahib to say a few words, and then, inshallah, we will continue, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسولنا الكريم اما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي الحمد لله it's a great pleasure to be here in fact I've been listening to the talks of Sheikh Salim Saab alhamdulillah for the last few months I didn't know I heard of his name before but I never had the tawfiq and the opportunity to listen to his talks and you can say this I wouldn't call it a coincidence, but of course, I happened to have the tawfiq of listening to his talks, and once I started, alhamdulillah, I became, you can say, addicted to an extent, subhanAllah. I would, the time I lead my Jumu'ahs in Colchester is around, you could say, about 12:45, and I started to, of course, understand the pattern of the times when Sheikh would deliver his talks in the Harlow Masjid around 11:50 or so. So every time I'd listen to Sheikh's talks, and I found out that he also does bayans in Qudrat al-Islam as well on Fridays, mashallah. And I felt so inspired and so invigorated, mashallah, after listening to his talks that I thought that this weekend I had the opportunity to come here and just to kind of maybe elaborate and say that, mashallah, how fortunate you are to have Sheikh Salim Nawab, mashallah, giving you these talks every week, mashallah, and benefiting because people like him, mashallah, don't mean to say much. Of course, Allah mazid fazid. Allah is what we call Wahhab. He is the giver. He is the bestower. So whoever is sitting here today, whoever is listening, mashallah, this is one of the ni'mas and one of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can say this is, of course, our means of being guided, inshaAllah ta'ala. So we make dua that Allah ta'ala, he gives us the tawfiq to, of course, benefit from the advices, from the talks of Sheikh Salim Nawab Sahib, inshaAllah. And we also ask Allah ta'ala that Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan muhtada. We ask Allah ta'ala that he guides us, he makes us from those who are guided, and he also makes us a means for guiding others as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. So I'll just pass on to Sheikh. Jazakallah khair.
Brothers, I'm really sorry. I didn't know, as a Maulana will say this, I thought he'll speak about Ramadan. If I knew this is what he was going to say, I would not have asked him to stand up. So inshallah, this is just a disclaimer. But I did not tell Hazrat Maulana to speak in regards to myself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us, inshallah. We are all the same. No one is better than anyone. Everyone is better than everyone else. Alhamdulillah. إن الحمد لله الحنان المنان هو الرحمن علم القرآن أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الذي قال في كتابه يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله الذي قال في حديثه إذا أتاكم كريم قوم فأكرموه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتاكم كريم قوم فأكرموه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رواه الإمام حاكم رحمه الله في مستدرك رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته اجمعين respected elders, our young friends, and mashallah, there are sisters here as well. We are very, very fortunate to be born in the Ummah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And it will be because of the Ummah of the Messenger of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Laylatul Qadr. Because of the Ummah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala gave us the Quran. What is Ramadan? What is Ramadan? In short words, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib rahmatullahi used to say so beautifully, he used to say, it's the birthday of the Quran. Ramadan is the birthday of the Quran. And that is the short of the month of Ramadan. But inshallah, I would just like to give a few guidelines that inshallah will be beneficial for myself and for everyone else. The hadith that I quoted in the beginning is a hadith from Imam Hakim rahimahullah in his Mustadrak al-Hakim. He's mentioned the hadith. When a noble person of a community, of a community leader, when he comes to you, you must honor him. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمُ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُوهُ. Now, when did the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام say that? When did he say it? In 10 AH, from one of the leaders of Yemen, you have Sayyidu Bajila. Bajila is a tribe in Yemen, from where Sayyidina Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, came. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Jarir is classified according to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. He's known as Yusufu Hadihi al-Ummah, the Yusuf of this Ummah. MashaAllah, you can say one of the most handsome individuals in the entire galaxy of Sahaba, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. Yes, there was another Sahabi, Sayyidina Dihya ibn Khalifa al-Kalbi. And he was also very, very handsome. Jibreel alayhi salam, whenever he used to come to the Messenger of Allah, and according to Allama Qassalani rahimahullah, Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Messenger of Allah during the course of his lifetime 24,000 times. 24,000 times. You can find this inshallah in Irshad al-Sari of Allama Qassalani rahimahullah. He's mentioned it. So mashallah, 24,000 times that Jibreel came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam on multiple occasions, even without wahi as well. He just came to comfort the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam. So say Jarir ibn Abdullah, he comes to the Messenger of Allah. He came in 10 AH, and he came most probably in the month of Ramadan. So Jarir ibn Abdullah, he only had the opportunity to stay with the Messenger of Allah for a course of 6 months. Bas. And then the Messenger of Allah passed away after that. But Rasulullah alayhi salam, before he came to Medina Munawwara, into Masjid Nabawi, the Sahaba was sat around the Messenger of Allah and he said, يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكُمْ سَيِّدُ بَجِيلًا. The leader of the tribe of Bajila in Yemen will soon enter upon you. Rasulullah doesn't know. He was not prior informed. But Rasulullah alayhi salam, through revelation, so he came in. Rasulullah alayhi salam allowed him to come to the front. Rasulullah removed his upper cloak and then he put it onto the ground. Now you tell me, where you going to find a leader like this? You tell me. Today, you can call someone a monkey and then you can say, I'm not sorry. You know that the leaders that we are facing today are such individuals. Their egos are so big. MashaAllah is bigger than a $400 million Qatari plane that is being given to Air Force One in America. You know, their egos are so big. So you have to remember, you can't go until you let the E go. You're never going to move on. You will never be elevated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until you can't let that takabbur and that arrogance and that haughtiness, until that does not go from an individual, a person will not be able to move on. The Messenger of Allah gives his garment. Sayyidina Adi ibn Hatim. Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. See, remember, today what you do, you might not see the benefits of that. But most certainly you do something good, your children will reap the rewards of the good that you do. Hatim al-Ta'i. Hatim al-Ta'i is known as, mashallah, one of the most generous people of the world. Very, very generous man. He was from the Christian background. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him the tawfiq of iman. But his son, Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i, and his daughter, they both embraced Islam in 99 AH. And you know why? Because of the generosity of their father. So maybe the father did not benefit, But the children, they did benefit. So Sayyidina Adi ibn Hatim, he became a Muslim. His sister, she also became a Muslim. And because of whatever good you do, you might not see it. But inshallah, your children will most certainly reap the benefits of the good that you do. But with the same token, if we do something evil, then the evil of ourselves can also continue onto our children as well. So khair, Rasulullah alayhi salatu salam places to Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. Someone asked him, what was the main reason you came into Islam? What did he say? The character of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu salam. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on the highest level. You know, Allah Ta'ala does not say you have immense character. Allah doesn't say that in Surah Al-Qalam. It's not وَإِنَّكَ, you know, you possess وَإِنَّكَ ذُو خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah doesn't say that. He says وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And you are on top of a mountain, so your character is a mountain. And you are on top of that. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah Ta'ala uses the word عُلُو, عَلَىٰ لِلْعُلُو. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala, the Messenger of Allah is on top of good character. And it all stems from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu salam. So khair, inshallah. Inshallah, you've got till Isha, yeah? Inshallah, you all have till Isha. Inshallah, we've kept Isha a bit early, so inshallah, we'll finish before half six, inshallah, we'll finish. Inshallah, you'll all, you know this time that you spent in the masjid, hadith mentioned by Sayyidina Abu Huraira, okay, seven people, the seven category of people who will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. A individual whose heart is attached to the masjid. So the time that we have, we are here, this is انتظار الصلاة في انتظار الصلاة. In this, that the time that you spend here, inshallah, is just awaiting for your Isha prayer. The entire time is recorded as if you are in Salah. So, Rasulullah Adi ibn Hatim, he was asked, why did you embrace Islam? He said, because when I went to the Messenger of Allah, he gave me his pillow and he gave me his place of sitting. No king of the world will ever give you his private position, his takiyah, his gadda, his throne. No one does that. You tell me, can anyone even fathom and think someone going into the Oval Office and then sitting in the orange man's chair? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? It's impossible. So the Sahabi, Sayyidina Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajri, he came. Rasulullah gave him his cloak and told him to sit on the cloak of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And then when the Sahaba were amazed, Messenger of Allah, this is, you know, an individual who's not even a Muslim, and you give him your cloak. What did the Messenger of Allah say? The hadith is mentioned by Imam Hakim. إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ كَرِيمُ قَوْمٍ فَأَكْرِمُوهُ. When a noble person of his community comes, then you respect him. Now you might say, why are you saying this in the topic of Ramadan? That's why I've said it. Because this is now a mehman of Allah that is coming. Ramadan is no ordinary month. It's a mehman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a guest that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sha'banu shahri. Sha'ban is my month. Wa Ramadan shahrullah. And Ramadan is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why this is a mehman that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, you go to someone's house as a mehman. You go as a guest. And if that person tells you, you know what, we were not meant to cook so much, but we decided to cook. MashaAllah, if you see any words of disrespect coming from anyone else's mouth, you might never go into that individual's house again. Ab kabhi nahi jaoge. Why? Because ye insan to ehsan karta hai, aur uske baad ehsan chetata hai. This person conveys a favor, and then he reminds me what I've done for you. Okay, if we look after the month of Ramadan, then inshallah, Allah will give us another month of Ramadan. I'm not saying if you pass away in between, then inshallah, you know, it's like, that means because you're disrespectful to the month of Ramadan. I'm not saying that. But baral, this is a mehman that is coming to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very, very soon. What's the first thing you do in preparation for the month of Ramadan? What's the first thing you do? You say Alhamdulillah when you see the moon of Ramadan. That's the first thing you do. Alongside the dua, Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil yumni wal iman wa salamati wal islam wa tawfiq lima tuhibbu wa tarda. Alongside the du'as that were recorded by the Messenger of Allah, when you see a new moon, alongside that you are going to say Alhamdulillah. Why? Because this is the month that the Messenger of Allah used to anticipate for 2 months in advance of the month of Ramadan. Rasulullah used to make the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, he used to say, if Allah Ta'ala wanted to punish this ummah when they die, Allah would not have given us two things. Number one, Allah would not have given us the month of Ramadan. And number two, Allah would not have given us Suratul Ikhlas. Qul huwallahu ahad. We don't realize, see, we read Surah Ikhlas in Salat, mashallah. Surah Ikhlas, Falaq, sorry, Surah Ikhlas, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar wal-asr. The furthest we go beyond the elephant is wal-asr. So, you know, a lot of people say, Musab, we can't go beyond the elephant because the elephant is too big. So, alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. We get stuck there. Okay, and then if we go further than that, not even waylun likulli humazatil lumaza. It's wal-asr innal insana lafi khusr. So, you know, if Allah tara, it's amazing. One sahabi, the sahaba complained, Messenger of Allah, every rakat he reads qul huwallahu ahad. He was the imam in Quba, in Masjid Quba. So the sahaba complained, Messenger of Allah, he reads Surah Fatiha. After Surah Al-Fatiha, he reads one surah. Before he goes into ruku, he reads Qul Huwallahu Ahad. So in other words, for him, that one surah after Surah Fatiha is not sufficient. So the Messenger of Allah asked him, why are you doing that? And he would do that in every rakat. So Surah Fatiha, example. And then, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Before going into ruku, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. In the second rakat, Surah Fatiha, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعْلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. And then going into ruku. The Messenger of Allah summoned him, why do you do that? One surah is enough. He said, Messenger of Allah, I love قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Why? لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Because قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ has highlighted the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mulla Ali Qari has mentioned beautifully that all the types of tawheed, be it a tawheed rububiyya, uluhiyya, al-asma wa-sifat, everything is mentioned in قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. And that's why you read it before you go to sleep. Because you are taking a good omen, you are dying on tawheed. What did Rasulullah read according to the hadith of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? What did Rasulullah read in Maghrib namaz, in the two rakat sunnah of Maghrib? And in the two rakat sunnah of Fajr namaz in the morning? What did Rasulullah read? The sunnah. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ in the first rakat, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ in the second. That was also in Maghrib, and that was also when? In Fajr as well. Why? Because you sleep negating shirk, and you sleep affirming tawheed. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ you are negating shirk. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ you are affirming tawheed. That's why it is also called Surah Al-Tawheed. It's called Surah Al-Ikhlas. And then you do the same in the morning. So the way you sleep and the way you wake up. So the first thing we are going to do, because it's a great blessing of Allah, as soon as arrival of Ramadan comes, we say, اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر. And then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala allow us to respect the mehman and the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been given to us. You believe me, how many people you know during the course of this year have passed away during the course of this year and will not get this Ramadan? How many people might even pass away on the 30th of Sha'ban and they will not get the opportunity to enter into the first of Ramadan? So inshallah, if we get to the month of Ramadan, we are going to be very, very fortunate. And that's why we are going to say, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Ibn al-Fadl is a great tabi'i of this ummah. It's called Ibn al-Fadl, rahimahullah. He used to say, the sahaba used to make dua for the arrival of Ramadan 6 months in advance. And then upon the termination of Ramadan, they used to make dua for Allah Ta'ala to accept their ibadat of Ramadan for the remainder 5 months. So in other words, the entire year was a Ramadan. The entire year was Ramadan. So this is the first thing that we are going to do, inshallah, when another thing you want to do. And please, I know this is hard. I know this is hard. Today, we as an ummah, we can stand in tahajjud, we can stand in the night prayer, we can sit down for the Quran, and we can read the entire Quran in one night. I know if I tell you something, you might be surprised. But inshallah, I'll give you the reference inshallah. It's mentioned again by Allama Qassalani rahimahullah in Irshad al-Sari. If I remember, he's mentioned it, and he's mentioned an incident of Sufi Abu Tahir. Sufi Abu Tahir is one of the great sages of the Ummah. I don't know how it is possible. I don't know how it is possible. He used to read 16 Qur'ans in one day. 16. 8 during the day and 8 during the night. Now, how is that possible? I don't know. You call it al-barakatu fi zaman. You call it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives someone so much barakah in time. Sayyidina Uthman Zunnurain in one rakat. Hakim ibn Hizam in one rakat. There are individuals in this ummah that have read the entire Quran in one rakat. In prayer. The entire rakat. In tahajjud, in qiyamul layl. So I'm saying for me and you to today, to stay awake in Laylatul Qadr maybe for 3 hours is going to be very, very easy. Abu Halaki, you're standing. And this is not easy. You know what is so hard? What is so hard? To pick up your phone, to dial someone that you hate and you've not been speaking to, and you hate him and they hate you, but pick up the phone and say, I'm very sorry for what has happened. You forgive me. This is very hard. If you want in the month of Ramadan for Allah Ta'ala to accept your du'as in the big nights, then you can't remain a mushahin. A mushahin means someone who harbors rancor, hatred, animosity for another individual, even during the zamana of Ramadan, and even in the big nights. There are some individuals in Laylatul Qadr, in the 15th night of Sha'ban, in all the other big, big nights that you have, even on the day of Eid, these people are not forgiven. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, leave them hatta yastaliha. Until they don't do musalahat and they come to an agreement, and they, you know, they leave their animosity, their hatred. Until then, okay, they will not be pardoned. So, inshallah, if you can, make a list of those individuals that you don't speak to. Sometimes, mashallah, I know it's very, very hard. Why? Because they owe you £10,000 and they're not paying up. You're not going to say, "I forgive you £10,000." I'm not saying that. Okay, but at least you can say, you can get onto speaking terms. So this is another thing that you do before the commencement of the month of Ramadan. I know this is hard, but this is something that we want to do before the month of Ramadan starts. Now, whenever you do something in life, if someone is sane, they're not insane, they're not mad. You do anything you do in life, you do it for a purpose. There's a goal behind it. You go to the gym. MashaAllah, you're paying £32.99 a month membership to use the gym. Why are you going to the gym? To lose weight. MashaAllah, because you're not married. So now you have to make sure you want to get married. You want the right person. And then inshallah, after you get married, you can put on all the weight again, no problem. Inshallah, unless you want to get married again. And you want to have two wives. But just on the second point here, inshallah, if you want a second wife, by all means, no problem. But inshallah, don't go against the law of the country. Okay, you know, one person came to me and said, "Manana, just make dua." This is just on a lighter note. One person said, "Manana, the police came to me the other day. The police came and said, we have been told that you have two wives. We have been told you have two wives. Inshallah, if anyone wants to know about it, you can ask me afterwards because we've got young kids. So inshallah, I'll tell you afterwards. Or we'll mention it in Jumu'ah, inshallah. But khair inshallah. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he had two wives. You see, what I'm trying to tell you, baz logon ko shauk hota hai, they want a second wife. You know, a lot of people are thinking of second wife, but they don't realize how you have to be maintaining justice between the two wives. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala had two wives. They passed away on the same day, both of them, in Jordan, in Ta'uni Amawas, in 18 AH. They both passed away on the same day. Now look at the justice of Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Not he loses one wife, he loses two wives on the same day. It's mind-boggling how is within his senses to think. You know what he says? He says, one wife passed away, and then the other wife passed away. Whose janaza do I arrange first? Because what if Allah Ta'ala asked me on the day of Qiyamah, O Mu'az, why were you unfair? Why did you do the janaza of the one who passed away second? Why did you do her janaza first? And the one who passed away first, why did you do her ghusl arrangements second? I don't want that. So he drew lots. With the two wives' names, he drew a lot. He called a young boy and said, can you pick one piece of paper for me? And when they picked up the piece of paper, the wife whose name came out first, he gave the ghusl, or he arranged the ghusl first. And then he did the same with the burial. Because I don't want Allah Ta'ala to say, oh Mu'az, after your wives passed away, you were not fair to do. You were not fair. You were not fair to do them. So now just imagine, are you able to do that? In fact, he was so fair. The wife whose turn it was, if by chance he had to go to the other wife's house, he would not even have a glass of water there. Because it's not her turn. Because it is not her turn. Khair inshallah. So I was saying, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, you do something, whatever you do it for a goal. You do something for a purpose. How many people are going on hunger strike that belong to Palestine Action? MashaAllah, may Allah reward them. And may Allah grant them iman. Some of them are not even Muslims. The world leaders should be put to shame seeing these individuals who are standing for the cause of humanity. Not because they're Muslims, just because they are human beings. You have individuals in that group that went on a hunger strike for 77 days. For 77 days. You know, whatever you do in life, you do it for a purpose. So now Ramadan is coming. We need to have some goals. We need to have some goals. So the question is now, what are, and this is what I recommend to everyone. You go home after this, inshallah, after Isha, you go home. Sit down. Sit down with a pen and paper. Sit down with a book. And you make a to-do list. And you make a not-to-do list. And you make a quality list. You know, I recommend if you can all do this exercise. Really, inshallah, it will be very, very beneficial. The to-do list in the month of Ramadan, and this is how we're going to maximize our benefit from the month of Ramadan. Number one, to-do list. Number two, not-to-do list. And number three, a sifat list. You know, those sifat that I want to inculcate, inshallah, slowly, slowly, until the moment I die. Until the moment I die. I'll start with the last one first. There are four passages in the Quran. There are four passages in the Quran. Every single individual should try and look into it. Passage number one, Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah. I think it's ayat number 111. 111. Para number 11. At-ta'ibun, al-'abidun, al-hamidun, al-sa'ihun, al-raki'un, al-sajidun, al-amirun. So they are all qualities of the people of Iman that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, which is para number 11. It's ayat number 111. Please don't quote me, but I think it is para. It's ayat number 111. That's number one. Passage number two. The beginning nine ayat. The beginning nine ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Look at the translation of those ayat and make a list of those qualities. So that's passage number two. Passage number three, Surah Al-Furqan. Surah Al-Furqan, ayat number 64 onwards. It's the last ruku of Surah Al-Furqan. It's in para number 19. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. There's approximately maybe somewhere in the region of 14, 15 qualities in that passage. And then the last one is Surah Al-Ahzab, para number 22 on the first page. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ. That entire ayat. So there's multiple qualities there as well. And then you can omit, you can look at the doubles, which qualities are the doubles, remove them, and then mashallah, you will find an entire list. This is what we want to do, inshallah, so when you go, and when I go on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what have you brought? Me and you, we can say, oh Allah, all those qualities that you wanted from the people of Iman, I tried to inculcate all of those qualities, and alhamdulillah, to a degree, this is what I tried. This is something that maybe we can do. This is a sifat list that you can find from the Quran. Now, what is your to-do list in the month of Ramadan? What is your main goal? What do you want to achieve by the end of Ramadan? Now, mashallah, if I were to ask you, okay, you can all say yourselves, what you want to achieve. But you know, two or three things are the main things that you want to achieve by the end of Ramadan. Number one, istighfar. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon you by the end of the month of Ramadan. Why? Look at the hadith of the Messenger of Allah. Rasulullah only did this once ever in the duration of his lifetime in Medina Munawwara. In 10 years in Medina Munawwara, Rasulullah only did it once. He comes onto the minbar, and then sa'idta al-minbar fa'amanta thalathan. And then Rasulullah said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. He said that three times. He's only done it once during the course of his lifetime. So he comes in Masjid Nabawi, he ascends the minbar, and then he says, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. MashaAllah, Sahaba were very inquisitive. Messenger of Allah, no one was there to make dua. Why did you say Ameen? Because Ameen you say upon a dua. Because they say Ameen is a dua itself, which means Allahumma istajib, oh Allah, accept. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah, whenever he used to come into the masjid, he would say, Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu alayki ya, or Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Number one, Allahumma ftahli abwaba rahmatik. And then he would say, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. So someone asked him, Hazrat, we understand you've read Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. We've understood you reading Allahumma ftahli abwaba rahmatik, but we did not understand Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Why are you saying Ameen? There was no one to make dua there. So Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahullah said, do you not know the hadith quoted by Khatib Baghdadi rahimahullah in Mishkat? And the hadith is, when an individual enters into the masjid, the angels say, Allahumma ghafir lahu, Allahumma rahamhu. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. I'm saying Ameen to the dua of the angels. So that's why you're saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. So mashallah, you know, and the ones making the dua is a pure creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ya'sun Allah ma amarahum. So what do you want by the end of the month of Ramadan? You want to do so much istighfar that Allah will pardon you. So what is that hadith? When Rasulullah climbed the minbar, ba'uda man adraka Ramadan falam yughfar lahu. Woe unto the individual who attains the month of Ramadan and then he's not able to have himself pardoned and forgiven. So what do you want to attain by the end of the month of Ramadan? You want to do so much istighfar at the end of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu ta'ala, who says, sometimes in one gathering, the Messenger of Allah used to make dua, he used to make istighfar in one gathering, one sitting, 100 times, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhambin wa atubu ilayh. Rasulullah is liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dambika wa ma ta'akhkhar. Rasulullah, all his mistakes have been pardoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anbiya don't have sins. Despite that, 100 times in one gathering, Rasulullah is making istighfar in one gathering 100 times. Why? لتعليم الأمة, to educate the ummah. You need it more. Rasulullah did not need it. You know, mashallah, if you look at the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah, I've mentioned this before. Allama Yusuf Kandalwi rahimahullah in his kitab, Hayatu Sahaba, in volume number 1. MashaAllah, this is a beautiful incident in the life of the Sahaba. You know, the Sahaba, what was the greatest need for the Sahaba in Medina Munawwara? What was the greatest need? It was water. Because mashallah, water is what? Water is life. You know, mashallah, you'll find in the ahadith, what did Allah create first? You know, what was the first thing Allah created? MashaAllah. Some say water, some say pen, some say the throne. So there are a few opinions. But what we find in the Quran, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَا. The throne of Allah was on water. You know, in some riwayat, أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْقَلْقَلَمْ. The first thing Allah created was the pen. And then Allah said to the pen, أُكْتُبْ. فَقَالَ مَا أَكْتُبْ. Oh Allah, what do I write? اكتب ما كان وما هو كائن الى الابد. write everything that has already happened and everything to happen until the day of Qiyamah. So everyone's taqdeer was written by the pen in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. So some people are of the opinion the pen was created first. Some say it was Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. Some say it was the Arsh of Allah. And some say it is the water. But what we find in regards to the water, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Allah Ta'ala has given life to everything from water. Where did we come from? You know, أَلَمْ يَكُ نُطْفَةً مِنْ مَنِي يُمْنَى. What is nutfa? It is water. It is sperm. It is water. So life comes from water. The Sahaba wanted water in Medina Munawwara. So they came to the Messenger of Allah and said, Messenger of Allah, if you can make dua for us, Allah Ta'ala gives us a stream of water in Medina Munawwara. Because the Sahaba of Medina Munawwara were what? People of gardens. So they needed water to irrigate their land. And that was beneficial for their harvest. Otherwise, water was very, very minimal in Medina Munawwara. There was only one well of sweet water in Medina Munawwara. Only one. That was brought by Sayyidina Uthman Zunnurayn. And that well is still giving water till today. And mashallah, you know that well, the water is more expensive than Zamzam. Bire Ruma, you go visit it, mashallah, they open it at a certain time. Okay, they open it till I think 4 o'clock or they open it after 4 o'clock. Okay, and then you can go and you can buy the water. And mashallah, one small container will charge you 60 riyals. And mashallah, the entire drum of Zamzam, 5 liters, they charge for that 12 and a half riyals. So it's more expensive than Zamzam. Okay, but Bir Ruma, that was the only thing. So when the Messenger of Allah said, you can ask me. The Messenger of Allah told the Sahaba, is that what you want? Or if you want it today, you can ask me for something else. And then I will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah will give it to you. So the Sahaba said, Messenger of Allah, we have a change of plan. We don't want water. We don't want water. Messenger of Allah, please make dua. Allah ta'ala, pardon all the Ansar. Allah forgive the Ansar. Straight away, the Messenger of Allah raised his hand. And what did he say? Allahumma ghfir lil Ansar. لي أزواج الأنصار ولي أبناء الأنصار ولي أبناء أبناء الأنصار ولي جيران الأنصار. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar, the women of the Ansar, their wives. Oh Allah, forgive the children of the Ansar, their grandchildren, and the neighborhood of the Ansar. Oh Allah, forgive all of them. What was the goal of the Sahaba? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us. Allah ta'ala to forgive us. So in the month of, this is why you find in the hadith of Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi. Wait, what did Rasulullah say? You have to do two things excessively in the month of Ramadan. أكثروا من قول لا إله إلا الله والاستغفار. You have to do two things excessively, and that is a lot of لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. If you can do it in the month of Ramadan, minimum 500 times. In the month of Ramadan, chalte firte, as we call it. Okay, whilst you're walking, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, read it 500 times. If you can do it more, Alhamdulillah. And Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa atubu ilay. If you can't read the whole thing, no problem. Just read Allahumma ghafirli. Just read Rabbi ghafirli. Just read Astaghfirullah. Bas, enough. You believe me, you try read Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. 100 times you can read it in 2 minutes. You give it a try afterwards, it'll take you two minutes. You can take out 8 hours and 39 minutes, which is the average time on a screen in this country of individuals. 8 hours and 39 minutes we can take out for the phone, but we can't take out 10 minutes to read Astaghfirullah 500 times. You know, we need to ask ourselves, what is our priority? We need to ask ourselves. So khair inshallah, you know, I'll leave with you just one beautiful dua of Sayyidina Sufyan al-Thawri. Sufyan al-Thawri, mashallah, is one of the great. He's not min al-Tabi'een, wahuwa min tabi' al-Tabi'een. He is from amongst the students of the Tabi'een. He's a contemporary of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. They were both in Iraq. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, has a beautiful dua. If you can memorize this dua and read it after every farz namaz in the month of Ramadan, and then carry on that habit after the month of Ramadan. Beautiful dua. Ya Rabba kulli shay'in bi qudratika ala kulli shay'in la tas'alni an shay'in waghfir li kulli shay'in. It's a beautiful dua. Ya Rabb kulli shay. Oh, the master of everything. Ya Rabb kulli shay. Bi qudratika ala kulli shay. Because of your power and your might over everything. La tas'alni an shay. Don't ask me about anything on the day of Qiyamah. Don't ask me about anything. Why? Ighfir li kulli shay. Because, oh Allah, you pardon me for everything that I have done. Now, why I'm telling you this is a very unique dua. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, used to read this dua frequently, excessively. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great Imam. Imam Ahmad was born in 174. Sufyan al-Thawri passed away in 161. So there is a gap of 13 years in between the two. But he's taken the dua from Sufyan al-Thawri, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. From Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great Muhaddith, Ibn Khuzaymah, he took the dua. He took this dua. When Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal passed away, Ibn Khuzaymah saw Imam Ahmad in a dream. So Ibn Khuzaymah says to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what happened after you died and you were lowered into the grave? He says, I was presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, I've forgiven you. But read the dua of Sufyan al-Thawri. Read the dua of Sufyan al-Thawri. So mashallah, he reads the dua. Ya Rabb kulli shay, bi khudratika ala kulli shay, la tas'alni an shay, waghfir li kulli shay. So mashallah, this is a dua that everyone should memorize and read it over and over and over again. So the first thing you want to attain by the end of the month of Ramadan is you make sure you have done so much istighfar, so much istighfar, that you know, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will most certainly forgive you. And this is something that you have to continue. But just read astaghfirullah. If nothing, just read astaghfirullah. Or rabbi ghfirli. Number two. What's the second thing you want to attain by the end of the month of Ramadan? This is what the Quran says. See, look at the mercy of Allah. Look at the mercy of Allah. Very, very short passage in the Quran. In the Quran, Ramadan has only been mentioned in one part of the Quran. Bas. In Surah Al-Baqarah. Yes, Laylatul Qadr is right in the end. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. But that is specifically Laylatul Qadr. And then you go, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Mubarakah. Inna kunna mundirin. In Surah Al-Dukhan. But that's just one ayat. Fi Laylatul Mubarakah. The actual Ramadan concept is only mentioned in one part of the Quran. That is Surah Al-Baqarah. Look at the beauty of these ayat. It's beautiful. You know, we would think fasting is difficult. Fasting is difficult. So Allah has made it easy for me and you to fast. And look what He's done. He's done it in seven different ways. In this small passage, number one, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This is number one. Everyone knows this ayat. I think it's ayat number 164, I think, of Surah Al-Baqarah. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. How were the Jews addressed in the Torah? Ya أَيُّهَا الْمَسَاكِينَ. Ya أَيُّهَا الْمَسَاكِينَ. That is how they were addressed. ضُرِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الذِّلَّةُ وَالْمَسْكَنَ is in the Quran. So they are going to be humiliated. And inshallah, that time will come. The time will come, inshallah, and it's not too far. That time will come. Zulm always has its consequences. Hazrat Mawlana Hifzur Rahman Siyuharwi, rahimahullah, used to say, Allah will tolerate kufr, but Allah will not tolerate zulm. Allah will tolerate kufr, but Allah will never tolerate zulm. That time will come, Allah Ta'ala will absolutely destroy them. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعْلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادِ إِرَمَذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ Read وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ and you will see how Allah Ta'ala destroyed all of them, one after the other. Akhir inshallah. So the seven ways Allah has made it easy. Number one, look at the address. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. For us, Allah uses the same name that belongs to Allah. What is the name of Allah? Al-Mu'min. As-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. The name that Allah uses for Himself, that is how Allah Ta'ala addresses me and you. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. So the address is so beautiful. One is you say to your child, Oi, come here, get me a glass of water. MashaAllah, you say to your wife, okay, hey, come here, get me a glass of water. MashaAllah, she'll go. But she spit inside and then she bring it to you. Because you have to address someone in a civilized manner. They go, if you want something to happen for you, then you have to be civilized. You say to your wife, darling, would you please get me a glass of water? And you don't order her. You don't order her. کبھی بھی اپنی بیوی کو کسی بات کا حکم نہ کرے کہ میرے لیے یہ کر. آپ یہ کہے میرے لیے آپ یہ کام کر سکتے ہیں. And then inshallah they'll do it. Then you won't have to buy flowers on Valentine's Day. You know, on the 14th of February, then you won't have to buy her flowers. Okay, why? Because mashallah, you don't need to make her a fool by buying for flowers. You know, they say, phool khareed kar, usko phool banate hain. You buy flowers and you make a fool out of her. Okay, halanke, mashallah, you could have addressed her in a good way for the course of the year. Khair, inshallah. So, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, look at the address, number one. Number two, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Fasting has been made compulsory upon you. Who made it compulsory? It's your master. When your master tells you to do something and you are the slave, you have to do it. You know, if you are a master and you have a servant and you tell him to do something, is he going to turn around and say, I'm going to do it? He will do it. So Allah says, kutiba alaykum as-siyam. It's upon you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. That is the history of fasting. So ya ayyuha alladhina amanu is the address. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, it is farz. You don't have a choice. You have to do it. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, that is the history. It's not only you fasting. Everyone else is fasting as well. Everyone else also fasted as well in the past. The Christians, the Jews, they also fasted. The Jews fasted on the Sabbath, on the Saturday. The Jews fasted on the 10th of Muharram. They fasted as well. So it's nothing new for you. You know, when you are told that a spouse did not get visa from India, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, someone that you were calling from Bangladesh or from back home, they didn't get visa. But then, you know, 10 people applied with you and none of them got visa. Now it becomes easy. You know, no one got it. So example, if all of us here today were to be told, you know what, you all got diabetes. So now you have to, inshallah, no one, may Allah not give anyone diabetes. But if anyone has diabetes now, if you want to carry on driving, you have to now pass your test again. Now if everyone fails, and if we come back into Allah Masjid and say, but you know what, did you fail? Did you pass? Did you pass? Did you pass? Everyone failed. So mashallah, it lessens the burden. Well, you know, everyone failed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the history is everyone else before you has already fasted. That's number three. Number four, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That's the philosophy of fasting. Why are you going to fast? To attain taqwa. That's why you're fasting. Now, you know how you're going to attain taqwa? I just want to highlight to you, what is taqwa? What is taqwa? How do I measure taqwa by the end of Ramadan? How do I know I've got taqwa? Who is going to be the judge and the jury for me? It's beautiful. Shaykh Abu Turab al-Makki, rahimahullah, says, on the day of Eid, if someone comes to you and says, are you ready to die? And you say, I'm ready to die. That is a sign you have taqwa. They say, إِثَارُ الْمَمَاتِ عَلَى الْحَيَاتِ. You are ready to give preference to death over life. If you can do that, this is a sign that you have taqwa. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, number one. And number two, Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelwi. They say so beautifully. They say, what is taqwa? Taqwa is hayatul qalb. Hayatul qalb means your heart is alive. Your heart is not dead. But now, how do I know my heart is alive? How do I know my heart is alive? Before I raise my eyes, your heart tells you you can't do it. You can't do it. Before I raise my eyes to look at haram, something in your heart is saying, no, 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 you can't do it. Before you are about to text a girl, and I'm sure you know what they call it. Okay, I'm sure you know what they call it, yeah? Instead of texting, they call it something else. With an S at the beginning. VNG. You know, those people who text and they're texting in a haram manner. Before you start doing that and you push the send button, there's something in your heart that says you can't do it. You listen to music, 1548 and whatever. As soon as you put in your button and the music is playing, you know, your heart is saying, how can you do that? There's one sheikh who's in Bahrain, who lives in Bahrain. He says, you know, the ayat of the Quran, sometimes you ponder over those ayat of the Quran, they will change your life. He says, I had one friend that used to come to visit me in Bahrain every year. from another part of Saudi. He used to come to Bahrain. So he used to come to Bahrain, and he used to womanize there. He used to drink wine. He used to gamble, because Allah gave him a lot of money. So he was driving, and he was coming to me. On the motorway, suddenly he sees an ayat of the Quran. What does he see? أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that Allah Ta'ala sees you? Do you not know Allah Ta'ala is looking at you? Today we are more scared of a five-year-old child than we are of Allah. Five-year-old child. You have a five-year-old child next to you, you're going to be very careful what you're watching on your mobile. And as soon as the child comes, okay, you put it away. For example, you know you got something. Okay, mashallah, you got multiple pages open, so now you open the Quran. Why? Because if the child sees, I'm watching something else, it's not suitable. So we're scared of a child, but we're not scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is called taqwa. When your heart inside gives you that voice, you can't do it. This is a sign of taqwa. And that's what we must attain at the end of the month of Ramadan. Like Shahr ibn Hawshib rahimahullah used to say, you are able, Shahr ibn Hawshib is a great tabi'i of this ummah. He's a student of Sayyidah Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala. He says, بِئْسَ الْقَوْمْ لَا يَعْرِفُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا فِي رَمَضَانِ. He says, you are able to leave halal for the sake of Allah in the month of Ramadan. For that same Allah after Ramadan, why can't you leave haram? Why can't you leave haram for the sake of Allah after the month of Ramadan? So I'm just going to go through it, inshallah. My time is almost over now. So number one, we mentioned it. What do you want by the end of Ramadan? You want to do so much pardon. This is why. What's the best dua you can make in Laylatul Qadr? That was asked by Sayyidah Aisha to the Messenger of Allah. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. This is the dua that you want to constantly make in the month of Ramadan. Number two, your goal is taqwa. You know, I've mentioned this before. If you have a radio station, and a beautiful, beautiful program is relayed during the course of the month of Ramadan, you got tilawat of the Quran, you got lectures, you got nasheeds. So there's an entire Muslim radio channel, and mashallah, you are sat at home and you think you can benefit from it. But now your radio at home is not working. You will not benefit from that program that is being relayed. In the month of Ramadan, the entire program from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relayed. Of rahmah, of barakah, of maghfirah. The hadith, shahrun awwaluhu rahmah, wa awsatuhu maghfirah, wa akhiruhu itqun minan nar. And mashallah, you know, Junaid Baghdad, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, used to say so beautifully, Ramadan. Ra, Mim, Dad, Alif, Noon. Ra, Rahmah. Mim, Maghfirah. Dad, Diyafat. Diyafat ka mana mehmani, hospitality. The food you get in the month of Ramadan, do you get it outside Ramadan? You know, mashallah, look at the Rahmah. Anyone who comes to the masjid outside Ramadan, we're not so kind. Anyone who comes at the time of iftar in the masjid, brother, have you had a date? You don't know him. But you know, everything changes in the month of Ramadan. Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hospitality. And you want to see hospitality, you go to Medina Munawwara. You go to Masjid Nabawi. Young kids are fighting. Okay, please come to our sutra. You know, you come to our sufra. You come to our dastarkhan. Young kids are fighting. Please, you know, you come to our tablecloth. And do iftar with us. These young kids, by the time from Asr, okay, mashallah, they go around and they will tell you, you come to us. And mashallah, you know the hospitality there. So again, we said, number one, so rahmah, maghfirat, diyafat ka mana mehmani, mezbani. Look at the mezbani and the hospitality you have in the month of Ramadan. You go to any masjid. Mashallah, a lot of masjid, you know what they have? They have dalim. You know, we call it halim. In Urdu, they call it halim. This word is not good. We should change it. We should not use Halim. Use the word Dalim. Why? Because Halim is the name of Allah. In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is Halim. It's mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Halim. So Shaykh al-Islam Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani says we should change that name. And instead of a Halim, we say Dalil. So you go to a lot of masjids, mashallah, the entire course of Ramadan, okay, Baqaida, they have cooked an entire pot of Dalil. And they give it to all the musallis at the time of Iftar. This is a diyafat of Allah. Alif in Ramadan is Ulfat. Ulfat means Mahabbah. Do you see the Mahabbah in the month of Ramadan with one another? And the last Noor in the end is Nar Se Azadi. Freedom from the fire of hell. Nar Se Azadi. So you got that message in the word Ramadan itself. Inshallah, I'm just going to finish. Inshallah, I'm sure everyone is very, very tired. Inshallah, I'll finish on this, inshallah. So what is the to-do list in the month of Ramadan? Number one, istighfar. Sorry, we'll just go from the front, right at the beginning. Number one was? Anyone? MashaAllah. Even before that. Even before that. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, upon the arrival of Ramadan, you're going to say Alhamdulillah. As soon as you see the moon, you will say Alhamdulillah alongside all the other du'as. Then you want, number two, even before that. Anyone? Pick up the phone. You want to pick up the phone, call those individuals that you've not been speaking to for years, ask them for forgiveness, even though they might not forgive you. You've done your part. Because the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, Al-Badi'u bis-salam bari'un min al-kibr. The one who initiates the salam and starts with the salam, he is free of takabbur and arrogance. So that's number two. Number three, istighfar. Number four, taqwa. Number four, taqwa. Number five, make a lot of dua in the month of Ramadan. This is your to-do list. Especially at the time of iftar. At the time of iftar. My message to the women, if your husband says he's going to do iftar at home, don't give him anything. Tell him to go to the masjid. Tell him to go to the masjid, read Maghrib namaz. You know what we do? This is how we thank Allah in the month of Ramadan. We miss jama'at of Maghrib for iftar. You know what some Hindus and non-Muslims say? The only things the Muslims do in the month of Ramadan is change their timings of eating. So breakfast we have early, and that is our suhoor. And mashallah, your afternoon meal we have late, and that is going to be 6 o'clock. Instead of half past 12 or 1 o'clock. So the only thing we're doing is changing our timing. So take out time at the time of Maghrib. See, you know what we do? Because of mine and your samosa and pakora and bhajia, women are deprived of dua at the time of iftar. Iftar is a time when duas are accepted. Why can't you go to Minansi after reading Maghrib in the masjid? And then you go home. Let them do some ibadat as well. And let them make dua. Make dua at the time of suhoor. Make dua at the time of iftar. Make dua, you know, during the course of the day. So this is something else we do as well. Another thing you will also do is, mashallah, make sure the least you can do is 5 daily prayers with jama'at in the masjid. Or wherever you are, do it with jama'at. If you are at work, okay, mashallah, get another Muslim with you and do jama'at in your workplace. But read it with jama'at. Then, mashallah, you have your ma'mool in regards to the Quran. Everyone here must have, you know, I'm going to finish 1 Quran, 2 Quran, 3 Quran, looking inside. And then, inshallah, for this Ramadan, I am going to try and understand Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr with tafsir. I'm trying to go into understand the passage where Allah mentions about Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran in detail. Inshallah, you try and understand that. Have some goal of trying to understand some part of the Quran. Khair, inshallah. So these are a few things that we do, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. Then there are those things that you have to leave. It's a not-to-do list. Number one, sins. Every single sin has to come out of the book. You know, otherwise, mashallah, someone used to say so beautifully, you have a huge bucket that you're filling every single day with good deeds. Every single day. But you've got holes inside. So whatever you fill is coming out. And there are two sins everyone must avoid in the month of Ramadan. Otherwise, you will lose the barakah of the entire month. And what is that? Number one, ghibat. According to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, anyone who backbites, their roza has broken. You've done iftar. According to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Okay, and the second one you want to avoid is misuse of your eyes. These two sins will absolutely destroy. So inshallah, very fast, mashallah, your pizzas are here. They're getting cold, and it's very, very close to Isha time. So inshallah, Isha time is. So I'll just finish on this inshallah. You want to avoid, number one, your sins. Imam al-Ghazali used to say, you don't only fast from food and drink. You fast with your limbs, with your eyes, with your ears, with your mind, with your heart. With that you fast. Inshallah, khair. And number two, overeating. Avoid overeating in the month of Ramadan, number two. Number three, avoid wasting time. All those apps that you can delete before Ramadan, delete them. Delete them. And inshallah, as I mentioned, do not neglect your prayers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Mashallah, if everyone can wash their hands first, inshallah, and thereafter you make yourself to the inshallah. Bismillah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر